Welcome to Songwriter Trysts, an intimate podcast that is connecting songwriters from all over the world. I'm singer-songwriter Ray Lee. Music saved my life, and I want to talk to other songwriters about the power of songwriting, talk about their journey and how they got to where they are today. This is a safe space to share stories, lessons, and emotions, all the great things that build an amazing song. To support the podcast and follow our journey, you can find us on songwritertrysts.com. Welcome to a Songwriter Tryst with Brianna Grace.
Hello, hello.
How you doing?
I'm pretty good, yourself?
I appreciate you making the effort to come down and have a chat to me. I like to start by getting you to introduce yourself. Say, who are you and where do you come from?
Cool. Well, I am Brianna Grace. I'm a musician and I come from Queensland, Australia on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm. And when did you start songwriting?
I want to say 15.
Okay.
I started out actually songwriting with my sister, as we do, we live together. Mm-hmm. We kind of started writing songs together, but I think I really just enjoyed writing with other people to start with, because I'm very much like a team player, and I love writing with other people because I found that I got stuck writing the same songs.
Yeah.
It really helped me branch out.
So what happened at 15 that made you go, oh, I could write a song? Like, were you, your parents, like, did you go do a course, or like, were you just like, oh, I like this idea?
Well, I started performing before I ever started writing or even singing. I joined the ASCM, the Australian Institute of Country Music, in Gympie.
Oh, yeah.
And there it was kind of expected.
Oh, that you were songwriters.
Yeah, that you would songwrite and perform, mm-hmm, and play your instruments. So that's how we were kind of, I don't want to say forced, but it was like, if you're there, you're going to.
So how did you end up in Gympie then? Where did that come from?
Just friend of a friend said, oh, you should check it out. And we didn't even listen to country music besides Shania Twain.
Yeah.
Although Queen. and we just fell in love with it. There's, mm-hmm, such a supportive community there. And especially at such a young age, we got thrown up on the Gympie Muster main stage and got to write with incredible artists. If I had to guess, I bet you're sitting there sipping on something red with someone else. If I had to guess, you're not giving me a second thought, you're moving on just like I have. But you haven't crossed my mind in a long time.
You started performing before you started writing. Where did music start for you? Why did you start playing music?
I started singing as a hobby. I was really bad though. Like, people say it's natural. It wasn't. No, definitely not. And you hear me like voice memos from, you know, when I was a child, you're like, didn't pick it. I was actually born with my throat connected to my lungs and I reduced lung function. So singing was actually something I had to do for physio to keep my lungs clear.
Wow. So it was a birth thing.
It was a birth defect. Tough away. Trachea, esophageal fissure with an esophageal atresia.
Wow.
Yeah, my throat was connected to my lungs and I had lots of surgeries growing up with it. But yeah, singing was something that was highly recommended because it teaches you to breathe correctly as, mm-hmm, well, and all sorts of other things that really strengthen your lungs. So it started off as a thing that I had to do. Yep. And then, as we all know, music is so healing and I fell in love with it.
Well, going through that sort of surgery at such a young age, how traumatic. Like, that's not not normal and shouldn't have to go through that. How did you and your family kind of manage that? How young were you when you had to have those surgeries?
I've had them since, I think my last one was end of primary, my last major one.
Mm-hmm.
I still have checkups. But my dad was born with one hand actually, and I think that really inspired me to just face things, mm-hmm, at a young age. And growing up, he would always say, the only thing I can't do is eat with a knife and fork at the same time, and you know, you can't means you won't, pretty much.
Yeah.
So growing up with that in the family, I think really spurred me on. My brother has a hearing impairment like myself,
mm-hmm,
and I definitely was surrounded by people with a can-do attitude, which I think was invaluable.
That's awesome.
To be honest, because you know, not only that, I also do have a hearing impairment, and singing was also a form of speech therapy for me. I did go to speech therapy when I was younger and most people wouldn't pick it nowadays because I lip read a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, singing really, really helped me in so many ways. And I've met so many other musos who even have, you know, ADHD or they're on the spectrum, and I think it really, really is a healing industry.
Yeah, absolutely.
In so many ways.
But you're not going to get a Medicare rebate anytime soon.
Expensive, yes.
Yeah, I wish we could like sell our music as like a healthcare plan.
Oh, I've met so many people though that just music is the same for them.
Mm-hmm. So, that's why I say at the beginning of every podcast is music saved my life. And every therapist I've ever been to, once they get to know me, they're like, yeah, if you didn't have music, you'd probably be dead. Like most people wouldn't be able to cope with what you've been through. And I think intuitively as a kid, I was drawn to music as a survival technique. But it's, yeah, like my grandmother was stone deaf and my auntie has a massive speech impairment, but she still plays piano and loves going to the symphony and has her memberships and loves music. And my daughter has had speech therapy since 2.5 and she still gets it. She's 7 years old and has a severe speech impairment. And you've just got to, adapt. Like, but some people can adapt and some people can't. But it's also good to remember the amazing things you do have. And I was literally having that conversation with my husband earlier. We're like, you know, just by living in Australia, we are some of the richest people on the planet, let alone having health or anything. It's like it is a good practice to be grateful for what you do have.
Oh, I think for me it was the most mentally challenging part because I grew up going to school, doing all the normal things where, you know, you are judged. And my disabilities were invisible, so it was never, I was never treated differently, but I did spend lots of time away from school in hospital. I'd come back behind, still be on the same deadlines as everybody else. That's a you problem kind of thing. And I think music allowed me to express myself and express that frustration. And whether it's just singing to a song in the shower, it was amazing. It really taught me that other people feel the same way as I do. There are other people out there that are going through struggles too.
Yeah. And
because people don't voice it, especially in school and growing up and other kids, you know, social media, everyone shows the best side of themselves and music shows all colours.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it does. But I think it's a good point that you say, like, people don't talk about it. It's we all feel different. We all feel like we don't fit in. Or, I mean, especially if you've been through some sort of trauma, that's like a heightened feeling that we all have is feeling isolated, like other people don't get it. I'm all alone. I'm not as important or loved or valuable as other people. And that's a voice that I've learnt is common in people who have been through traumatic experiences. And when I learnt that it was a common feeling, even though it's still not something that we see or hear or we talk about, it is a lot. I hear it in music now. And I sing about it, but it's like that common thread that brings us together and it is beautiful, but it's also challenging. It doesn't stop those thoughts from being there.
No. I don't think they ever stop.
No.
To be honest.
But we just learn to adapt and I don't know, we all have good days and bad days.
That's it.
So country music and you had a duo. Tell me about the duo experience. When did that start with your sister? And
it started pretty early on, just by chance. The teacher there chucked me on bass. He went for a 2-week holiday and gave me a bass guitar and said, start learning while I'm away, pretty much. And I, you know, so overwhelmed,
okay,
to say the least. And yeah, when he got back, we just started doing open mic nights and doing little shows. And then, you know, the shows led to festivals and the festivals led to tours. It really rolled on. I think, you know, we just started writing and playing together and got amazing opportunities at a young age and we took it head on, really. Yeah. And our parents are musical, so we were all along for the ride.
But they supported you through what you were doing and they saw that it was healing for you.
110%. Like, I think it's healing for everybody, let alone going through health struggles and things like that. But it definitely happened by chance, I want to say. We don't have parents that are in the industry, but they were so supportive and we couldn't have done it without them at a young age. They drove us to Tamworth. They bought a van, you know, they supported us so much. You know, Dad has one hand and he was never allowed the same opportunities, unfortunately, when he was growing up. And so, you know, they really wanted to support us when they could.
That's beautiful. Thank you, Mum and Dad.
Yes.
'Cause it is, grateful. It's such a gift to have someone in your life that will support you in who you think you are and what you want to do.
Yeah, but also as young girls in the industry, it was really tough. You know, it is a male-dominated industry and, you know, there was always – we were always the minority in that sense. Mm-hmm. And every stage we played, sometimes we were the only women there.
Yeah.
So having parents to support us was really important too.
How do you manage that? How do you feel – being a woman in the country music industry? I have my own opinions, but like, what's your experience?
It can be tough sometimes. And I think that's especially why I was so grateful to be in a duo. We had each other. We went everywhere together. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody else needed to go to the other side of the festival. We were both there together. You know, the super late nights going from venues at 2-3 o'clock in the morning at 16, 17. And even when we were over 18, it's still tough. Doing it by yourself, oh, yep. At that age, I really wouldn't have wanted to. I felt so sorry for the other girls, but that's where I think we really banded together. Like a lot of the girls would stick together at festivals and things like that. It wasn't too bad. We were pretty lucky, but we definitely put ourselves in situations to keep us safe.
Yeah, and that's important.
Made different decisions.
Yeah, and that I do think that there is a vulnerability being a female and then being a young female. It's like two separate vulnerabilities of being young and female. And it's something where you do, you need like a minder or you need someone who's got your back. Otherwise, there are plenty of people out there that will try and take advantage of your vulnerabilities, whatever they are.
Yep.
Making sure you've got good support around you, parents, siblings, is really important as just a protection thing. And doesn't matter how strong you think you are. We've all got a certain level of strength.
Yeah.
But we've all got vulnerabilities that we need to protect. And that's just being smart. It's not being scared or weak.
Exactly. And even we'd play with a band more times than not with guys, just so we'd be around a lot of people and we weren't ever alone.
Yeah, that's really good. Festivals, do you have a favourite one that you went to?
Oh, I'd say Gympie Musters, probably one of my faves.
Okay.
I really enjoyed Woodford though. That also has a special place in my heart. I just, yeah, love it.
Yeah, cool. And you also got to tour overseas. How did that come about?
It was by chance. We got a message on Instagram and, you know, we get all sorts of weird messages.
Yeah, in we all inbox. Do.
And didn't think anything would come of it. But then a couple of weeks later, we got offered a contract to go and play over there for a residency for a couple of months. And
wow.
Thought, why not?
Yeah.
So we played in the snowfields in Nagano.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty incredible.
Did you enjoy it? Do you like Japan?
Oh, I love it. I want to go back so bad.
Yeah. I want to
go. So beautiful. They just love live music too. It's so special.
Yeah. That's awesome. Okay. So then COVID's hit.
Yes.
And you had all these plans. How did you guys adapt to the COVID scenario? Everyone had to adapt and change in some way. What's happened?
That's so true. I haven't met any musician who hasn't changed everything really.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I've always wanted to do my own solo work, but Ohalo was so successful and, oh my gosh, so amazing that we really devoted 110% of our time and energy into that. And we never both got the chance to really actually give our own solo projects a go. COVID gave us time.
Yeah.
Gave everyone time. And individually also, not all the songs that we wrote fit the duo and that. So rather than those songs go to waste, we thought, why not actually finally start our own solo projects? So
yeah.
That's how it came about. And yeah, but by change, I started streaming on an online platform called Twitch.
Yep.
Yeah, so I have some amazing subscribers who have paid my rent during COVID.
That's insane. Yeah. Wow. And so Twitch became your other job during COVID that helped support, but it also helped launch your original solo career.
Yeah.
And then you've recorded a new song and you've just released that recently.
A month ago.
I was going to say, well, I'm pretty sure it wasn't that long ago because I know that we've had a few weeks of trying to organise this. So how's that going? Because that's like a big 2-year lead up to and then starting a whole new project. It's exciting, but how does it feel just being by yourself?
I don't feel like I'm by myself though because as I was saying earlier, it takes a team. Mm-hmm. You can't do it all on your own. I have an amazing team around me who make me sane, honestly. I couldn't do it all.
That's good.
I couldn't and be happy.
Who are the most important people in your team?
My publicist, Karen, mm-hmm. from Little Sparrow. She is so amazing. That's how we connected,
actually. Yeah, that's how we got. Karen sends us heaps of amazing people.
She's 100%. Yeah, and also my Twitch subscribers, like, I really think, you know, as much as I mentally helped them through COVID, they really helped me too, because I wasn't picking up my guitar. I wasn't writing. I didn't want to, because I wasn't playing shows and I didn't have an excuse to.
Yeah, or a reason.
That's it. And I ended up just not even liking looking at my guitar anymore for a while there. Mm. But yeah, it gave me a reason to pick it up again. And, you know, they really spurred me on to get into the studio and record. I was going to release earlier, you know, when everyone thought COVID wouldn't really be hanging around. So it did get pushed back quite a few times, but better late than never.
That's insane. And you said earlier that you were doing from 9 p.m. to 4 a.m. in the morning every day.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like, how did you get yourself into the right mental space to do that every night?
I think it was just a new routine, like, especially as a muso, you're up all whack hours.
Mm.
Even traveling different time zones, I'm kind of used to being shuffled around with my sleep, but I think just the routine helped me.
Mm-hmm.
It just became a new routine.
And what do you do on these, like, on this amount of time?
I sing and I chat.
Okay.
Often, especially online, like, it's live.
Yeah. So you have, like, live interaction with an audience.
Yeah. So in between each song, you have a chat. People, you know, say if I play a new song, they're like, oh, I love this bit and I love this bit. I also put up the chord charts for my songs.
Okay.
So a lot of people are learning guitar along to my songs, which is pretty special.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And sometimes they send me little videos of them mastering a new chord and things like that.
So, oh, yay.
Yeah.
What a beautiful relationship, and another way to find and connect in with another audience. You said that that's mostly in America. Have you found that's where your followers, that's why you do that time zone?
Yeah, weirdly, a pull from Texas.
Okay. I've heard that Texas have, like, a really unique music scene.
Okay.
Like, when I was in Nashville, Texas was, like, just people talked about Texas like it was a different country.
What?
Yeah, like, their music and everything is, like, it was almost like passive-aggressive insult if someone said, oh, that'd be great for the Texas music scene.
What?
It was like, it's strange, but apparently they have a completely different sound. So maybe you fit into the Texas. I don't know, like, Austin's got its own, like, little ecosystem of music producers and publishers and just everything in there. It's probably got the same population as Australia. So.
Yeah, true.
It makes sense if there's that many people there that it has its own little ecosystem, its own sound. But it's interesting that if that's where you know, like, for some reason, my number one American city for my music was Seattle. I don't know why.
You do wonder, hey?
Yeah, you're like, how do these people in Seattle even hear, like, you know, must have picked up on some platform or something.
Is it a weird domino
effect? The internet's strange.
Yeah, one station picked it up and then
exactly
asked about it. Or
at the end of the day, it's encouraging if you see anyone listening to what you're doing or engaging with it. You said you like co-writing. Do you do any solo writing, or do you do you only do co-writing?
I do quite a bit of solo writing, or even I'll finish a song and bring it into a co-write.
Mm-hmm.
Just to be like, what do you think? And we'll end up writing a bridge, or, you know, adding on to it.
Yeah.
I definitely prefer writing with other people, but I certainly write my own songs.
What is it about writing with other people that you feel you like?
I just love the aspect of change. It makes it fun. I think for me, writing by myself in my room can sometimes keep me in the same little box, and I love having fun with my sound and experimenting, so.
Yeah.
Definitely brings a new set of ears.
Yeah. And like you said, it's teamwork. Someone else is invested into what you're doing. When you're writing music, and now that you're doing it as a solo thing, so you're creating your own new sound, have you thought much about what it is you want your sound and your songs to represent, what you want to say through your music?
Yeah, definitely. I think I knew that before I even started releasing my own stuff, because as I said, I've been playing for years, so I guess I've been honing that in a way I didn't realise for years too. There's something that I wanted to do. And originally, especially with the duo, I never really talked about my hearing and other things like that. But since streaming online, I've realised how important it is, especially during COVID, where people are struggling, everyone's struggling, and I think anybody I can help or feel connected to I think that's super important.
So absolutely.
That's something that I do want to make a point of just being open and honest about.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. It's good to be honest.
It's good for myself too, though, because we all tell ourselves that, oh, nobody feels the same way and I'm all alone.
Yeah.
So it's good to slap that voice on the head.
I think I've noticed when I'm like, by me becoming more honest and true to myself, I've ended up attracting more true and honest friends as well. Like, I may have had to get rid of some people that were maybe quite toxic and was fitting into what I thought I should be rather than who I am, and transitioning like the people around you, it can be hard.
And did you say that made you realize though?
Yeah, I think, well, that was a sign that it was like, actually, this is good. Like, I'm becoming more vulnerable and I'm being more honest about who I am. These people that were my friends beforehand don't like that. And that's hard. Mm. But it's like, that's okay. If they leave, what I realized then is that people who did attract the more honest, raw person that I was came into my life, and then my life is healthier because of those people as well. So I think it was a good thing, but it's hard because I'm a very loyal person. Like, I grew up as loyalty is like, you know, a very important attribute as
thick
a person.
And thin, yeah.
And so when I was a kid, I was like, if I'm friends with someone, I'm friends for life. But when I changed or I grew, and, you know, it's like this, the saying of like alcoholics love out the alcoholics because it makes them feel good about drinking. And if all of a sudden you're all best friends because you all drink together and you go, hey, I'm going to stop drinking because it's not good for me, it's high chance they won't want to be your friend anymore.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like that's kind of for me, as I've grown, when I take a step in my mental health or I grow in a certain area, those people that liked me for who I was, me making those changes maybe challenged them too much. Some people continue and they're the ones you have for life. With co-writing, what would you say has been the biggest thing you've learned about how to approach co-writing? What do you prepare when you're going into it?
An open mind. Sometimes I'll take a song in that I've started and think we're going to work on that, and sometimes we end up just laughing about a joke and then writing a song about that and not even touching the other song. Mm-hmm. So I think, yeah, just going in with a relaxed attitude is probably the best. And just not, I just don't think sometimes expectations can limit yourself too, because, you know, I don't always finish a song. Sometimes I'll get halfway or even just write a banging chorus and then we'll both work on it separately, or even I'll just finish it myself and be like, this is what I've done.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, cool, I like it.
I used to write half songs all the time. Like, I'll come up with a chorus and verse all the time and then just not get any further.
Yeah.
And I used to get, there's a lot of people out there do songwriting and they teach songwriting and they're like, you've just got to finish the song. Just finish it. Like, you have to finish. And I used to like kill myself not finishing a song. But then I realized when I started co-writing, it was like, when I take those chorus or reverse into a co-write, it would be finished within like an hour, or, you know, like, so now I've learned to like not be so harsh on myself, that if I get blocked at a chorus, after a chorus or after just a chorus and a verse or a bit of an idea, it's like, okay, maybe that's a co-write idea, and I just take that into co-writes. And I've had songs that have been sitting on half written for like 5 years.
Wow.
And then go into a co-write and just like, oh, it's done. Brilliant. Like, finally. But yeah, it's nice.
Yeah. And also, I know a lot of artists don't like collaborating because royalties and things like that. They don't like splitting. But at the end of the day, if it gets a song finished and it makes the song stronger, I don't care. The song is a song, and if that's what it takes, then I really don't care, because it's about the song at the end of the day.
Well, at the end of the day, royalties aren't that much anyway.
No.
So
exactly.
If you're upset about that, you're really like, you're upset at maybe $5. But also, yeah, with someone told me once in Nashville, actually, they said 50% of something is still better than 100% of nothing. And when you've got more co-writers, and I think this is why in America, like, every hit song in the charts has usually got like, I think, an average of 10 to 12 co-writers. And they put credits on there for everyone, producers, managers, everyone gets a cut. But at the end of the day, if everyone has got ownership of a song, even if it's only, you know, 20% of a song, there's still going to be a more incentive for them for it to be successful and to work hard at pitching it or promoting it or doing a good job producing it, because it's their name on that song. And if it is successful, you know, you get to say, hey, I worked on that song, I helped create that song. And there's ownership, and you work harder for things that you feel like you own, and that's the team
effort. You're
invested in. Yeah. You're invested. And I like that, and that's why I don't ever get bogged down in – and when we do song – I do songwriting nights, and whenever I do co-writing with anyone, I'm like, if you don't want to evenly split this song that you know, we're working on, there's the door. I'm not even going to bother having that conversation or wasting any time or energy talking about splits when I could just be writing another song. You know, like, it's just, yeah, it's an energy conversation that I just don't have with people, and I lay that down pretty clearly straight away, so that it's like, yep, it's even.
I love it.
3, 4, 5 people in a co-write, it's even. I'm not going to waste time counting words or letters or contribution and then doing the maths on the splits.
But plus on the next write, you know, it's kind of a bit of a balance. Some nights you might not put in as much, or mm-hmm. other nights you'll end up doing the majority.
Mm-hmm.
So it balances out.
It does. And at the end of the day, you might only add one line or a bridge, but it could take that song from being a good song to a great song.
Yeah.
And if it does that, then in my opinion, again, it's worth giving them the 50% so that it becomes something rather than giving them 0% of nothing. You know, and so it is one of those things that is about, yeah, that collaboration and understanding. It's like, what am I giving and what am I getting? It's like, I'm kind of giving nothing to get maybe a lot. You don't know. Yeah. It's kind of a gamble. But I also think it is good to have some solo rights up your sleeve, like a catalogue of original stuff, so that, say, like, I had a TV show that I do a bit of acting just to make extra money, and I was on set and I was playing my guitar, and they said, do you have any originals that we could use? Now, in that situation, I had to only select songs that I'd solo written by myself, because I can only give permission for those songs to be used, and they weren't going to wait for me to call up my co-writers and go, hey, do you mind if I sing this song for these guys? Like, it adds too much risk in there. So, like,
yeah,
on a business side, I think it's good to have original songs up your sleeve that are just yours, that you hold 100% to. But it's also good to collaborate.
Yeah, and I think when you do write yourself, you do come back to your roots a bit, so it's good to do both.
Yeah, it's hard to get vulnerable in a room with someone.
Yeah, I definitely enjoy then when I go into write other people setting a BPM and having some chords ready to go to set the mood, because otherwise it's so easy to write a sad song.
Do you find, because I've heard the saying that artists can only either do tragedy or happy songs. Do you find that you naturally go towards, like, sad songs?
No, because I'm a positive person.
Mm-hmm.
I much enjoy writing happier songs and playing them live, because I want to make people feel happy.
Yeah.
I do write for myself sad songs, as we all do.
Yeah.
But I don't really enjoy performing them as much or releasing them. They're just more for me.
I like that. I have some sad but positive songs, and they were my original songs that I shared, but they were songs I wrote in my room that no one was ever supposed to hear. And it's sometimes there's some songs that are miserable songs, and I've performed them at, like, open mics, and, like, as I'm singing them, I feel my face going red, blushing, going, oh my gosh, what am I doing? No one wants to hear this dirty laundry song of, like, my miserable emotions in public. Like, why am I even sharing this? But it's only when you're performing live you start to realise what is it that you really love to perform, and then you can work on that.
But then I think it's back to that message of what do you want to convey?
Mm.
How do you want to make people feel?
Yeah. Do you want to depress the world, or
do you want to leave them in tears, happy tears or sad tears?
Yeah. And there's obviously a balance. But, yeah, anyway. Tell me, now that you've done all this and you're starting a new project, but you've actually been doing it for how long? Like 15? How old are you now?
Nearly 23.
Oh my gosh, so old. I had my first baby at 23. It's a good age.
That's terrifying. Thanks.
So you've been doing it for 8 years. That's quite a long time for a musical career, and it shows that, you know, you're obviously passionate and love it. What would you say has been your best piece of advice that you would give someone who was starting out now?
My biggest piece of advice would be to do it for yourself first and foremost, because, you know, things like COVID happen. and you've got to love it. I think also looking, if you want to do it full time, definitely look at the lifestyle and whether that'll make you happy, because I've seen a lot of people around me do it full time and resent music because of it. So I think make sure that, you know, you set yourself up to care for your mental health as well, because it's a tough industry, traveling, being away from, you know, your family all the time. So definitely you've got to love music 110% to do it. But also support yourself with people around you. Don't treat yourself like a solo person. Even if you are a soloist, remember that, you know, it does take a team. All those famous people you see out there have got so many people behind them. So
entire record labels.
Yeah, that's
teams
it.
Teams of people.
So definitely surround yourself with people that can help you and help each other.
Yeah. And yeah. I've seen so many incredible people that can sing better than me. They play guitar better than me. Like they're amazing. But that's just like the artist part of it is like just such a small piece of the cog that goes into that machine to actually get the song out there and to give you the opportunity to perform. Like you need someone to put the stage there and the sound system and the music. It's such a massive production, and the artist is just that little tip of the iceberg that the rest of the world can see, but they don't see what's going on underneath the surface that's making that possible.
That's it. It takes so many people, and I've even seen, you know, artists being picked over other people just because they were nice to the sound guy, you know, festivals and things like that. And I think some people forget that, you know, it really does take a team, and you've got to treat everybody like you're, you know, you feel like the star up on stage, but if you don't have a sound engineer, no one will hear you sing.
Yeah. I've always, whenever I meet the sound guy, I'm like, you're the most important person in the room.
Legit.
Because like they're the person that's going to make you sound good or bad. And if you're mean to them, there is nothing stopping them from just turning you down and turning something else up and making you sound absolutely horrible. And it's a symbiotic relationship.
Yeah.
This is a question about your inspirations, but if you could work with anyone in the world, dead or alive, who would it be and why?
Dead or alive? I would love to songwrite with ABBA, I have to say.
Yeah.
And Taylor Swift, the two people that have songs that never leave my brain. Oh. Shania Twain would be another one. I just think of those earworms that I would just love to chat with them, really. Just get to know them. I think that'd be insane and collaborate. Yeah, that'd be my main ones.
They're all, like, they're great people. Yeah, awesome. What's your favourite, like, song from Taylor Swift or Shania Twain or whatever? Like, do you have, like, a...
From Taylor, it'd probably have to be Trouble.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, still in my head. I think I heard it on the radio yesterday. I'm like, really? Please, no. Those songs that just are almost annoying because they just... get stuck in there.
It's good though. It's good to have songs that get, like, I don't know why. That's, yeah, I like writing catchy songs. That's cool. So what have you got coming up now? You've released one song a month ago.
Yep.
You got shows coming up. You got more music coming out.
Yes, I do. I definitely do. I've also got a single coming out with another artist from a different genre, which is going to be super fun. We wrote together during COVID.
I love that. What sort of genre?
Reggae.
Woohoo.
But, you know, cool. They're kind of sisters, so.
Yeah. Well, country goes with everything, I've realised.
Why not? That's it. I don't like to limit myself with genres. I'm definitely country pop. And with my production, like, I have strings in there, and then I have harmonies, and then I have a bit of banjo, and then I have also some synth.
Yeah.
But it all gels together, and that's, yeah, why I love songwriting too.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I'm also playing the Gympie Muster this year, which I was supposed to play last year before I got ronified.
Yeah, I feel like that's what's happening this year with a lot of the festivals is it's all everyone's just catching up on the gigs that they were booked for previously.
It's so much fun though. Like even from Christmas time, I've had people message me like last Christmas and say, oh my gosh, I can't wait for that festival.
Yeah, that's nice.
So people are definitely looking forward to it. And I feel like everyone's going to go a bit crazy, you know, bull out of the gate, kind of let loose. But yeah, it's going to be so much fun.
I'm getting that vibe just in general being out in public at the moment. There's like, it's busy. Everyone's just excited to be out of the house. Gympie Music Muster. I have not been to that one.
What?
Yeah, I know.
No way.
I know, I haven't been. So tell me, I'm going to the Song Hub that's right before it this year and I'm still on the fence as to whether I'm going to stay. So
at least get a day ticket.
Okay.
I will say if you can, camp because you can stay out late and there's just a whole atmosphere with that festival. It's like nothing else. You know, I think they have this saying, you know, they're only just friends you haven't met yet. And it's so true with that festival. It's the nicest, like, down-to-earth festival I've ever been to.
Yeah.
People are just so friendly. You just make so many friends, really.
Yeah.
And, yeah, there's so many different stages there too. It's amazing to be able to walk around in the same festival and hear so much different music.
That's awesome. Oh, maybe I will hang out then.
I'm playing on Thursday if you want to go Thursday.
Okay. All right.
No, but it's like there's a huge – everyone has campfires, everyone. And, you know, you go back after the music is still pumping and you can kind of hear it and you chat with everyone and see how the day was. Sometimes there's muso, sometimes there's just a rando who you met at the bar.
Yeah.
Well, like I met other chicks who like, oh, yeah, I play guitar. And they're like, oh, have you got it here? Yeah. And you just join around the campfire and jam.
See, that sounds like heaven. Have you been to – did you go to Tamworth this year?
I didn't, unfortunately.
Because it was freezing and like
– that's so weird.
I don't know why – they weren't allowing campfires at any of the campgrounds. And it was like, I felt what? Like if they just had a few campfires, it would have been a completely different vibe.
So weird for Tamworth. I remember I bought new heels for the last time I went in when I had it in summer.
Mm-hmm.
And walking along the road, the soles of my shoes melted and burnt to the road. I was like, when I described Tamworth,
were they
people
like
who haven't
cheap
been.
Shoes or?
No. Okay. They were like over the knee high grey boots that were.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. When I went, it was – I have been in 2020. I went in January.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
But I was only there for like 24 hours and it was okay. Is there anything we haven't covered that you would like to share? Give me
– I feel time. Like we've
talked about everything.
That's it. I'm good.
All right, so I'm going to put all your descriptions to like your socials and how people can find you. I will put them in the description of the podcast. There'll be a blog on the website and a description of everything we've talked about. Yeah, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
No, you're welcome. Thanks for joining our songwriter Tris today. To join the family and keep up to date with future podcasts, you can follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, and Twitter. Please leave a review and subscribe. To support the podcast or contact me or our guest, please go to the website songwritertrists.com.